Thank you, Mr. Knudsen. Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. There we go. That's as cute as it gets. Greetings from the Albuquerque congregation. I was over there with Mr. Ford performing the Passover and speaking on the first day of Unleavened Bread. A very enthusiastic crowd and perfect weather over there. Just absolutely a beautiful time that my wife and I and little Miss Jordan had over there. So we've made it. We've made it through the days of Unleavened Bread. And we should be flattened. All the leaven removed. We should be flatter than flat rate postage. We should be flatter than a matzo pancake. We should be flatter than a soda can that's been open for at least 2 or 3 days. The brethren, we are flat. And now we're here to garner the spiritual lessons and the internal inspection for another year. And Mr. Knudsen hit on this yesterday, and it's funny because we're just servants of God, and listening to Mr. Edwards and Mr. Knudsen and all the messages yesterday, it's just incredible how they all tie together. You know, we're here now to rise to a spiritual maturity in God, to understand the greater meaning of our calling, because we have such a great calling. And we're here not focusing in on sin and self, but how we can serve others and how we can do things for the greater good of all mankind. Our calling, this small little crowd in Phoenix, out of 3+ million people in this city, we have very few workers, but God has called us to be here. And you know, we start out, and I spoke over in the past, or over in Albuquerque, and I compared the what we call basin training versus basic training. Basin training being that you had the creator of the universe who took it upon himself to get a wash basin and not wash pre-washed feet. No, these were real dirty, dusty feet that our Savior washed. And we're talking about the greatest, one of the greatest beings in this universe, part of the God family. Versus basic training, where men go to learn how to make war against one another. Jesus Christ came to show us how to love one another and how we're supposed to be about His will and doing the things that are pleasing unto Him, and how He showed us how humble He was to give us this basin training. We're not here to learn war anymore. We have spiritual warfare that we're going up against Satan, but we are here to learn to love as Jesus Christ and God the Father loved. And you know, it's a process, because when we think about it, and I call it the Peter syndrome. You know, he was about serving also, but he took it upon himself to do it the way, a quote-unquote Sinatra way. I did it my way. He thought he was doing Christ a service when he cut off Malchus's ear. And that was the farthest thing from the truth, because what did Jesus do? He put the ear back on. Why? Because it was not his time at that time. But we're here to serve God according to do his will and what's pleasing unto him. Now, how do we go about doing that? How do we serve others? Brethren, one of the things that we have to do is pray for others believing, absolutely knowing that we're not here to worship a God that can't perform miracles. He specializes in the impossible. That is our God. We examine ourselves. We have flaws. But we turn to the flaws that Christ showed us that, look, I'm here for you. And his shed blood allows us to continue on this race, continue on this journey. We got to do something about it. Don't just think about it. Take the talents that God has given you and use them. Let's start out in Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, speaking of the demon-possessed man that Jesus Christ healed. In verse 1 it says, "And he came to another side of the sea, and to the country or the garden of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met him there on the tomb, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had in his dwelling among them tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and chains had been pulled apart by him, and neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran up and worshipped him." Now, was it the man or was it the demons? Obviously, it was the man inside, along with all those demons. Because as we read, going down further, it says, "And he cried out with a loud voice, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of this man, you unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" Brethren, we're seeing an epidemic, a pandemic, a time where drugs, opioids, the opioid crisis that's going on here in the United States has affected so many. And it allows that gateway for Satan to control the mind. And we see this particular situation, because when you think about that, a legion at the time, or is described between 6,000 and 12,500 in a legion, and that's how many demons that were inside this man. I've spoken with gentlemen who were walking on wall, talking to the walls, having a full conversation, fully engaged, just to see the madness that's going on inside their minds. And it's very unfortunate that people have allowed these types of unclean spirits into them. But going on, it says, "And he also begged him earnestly that he would not send them out into the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains." And of course, going down, they begged him to go into the swine, and said, Jesus said, "Go." And those that saw this, going on down to verse 14, it says, "So those who fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went about to see what happened." They saw it. They heard it. They understood it. They said, "Wow, we have somebody here who cast out all those demons out of this man who was in the tombs or in the stones." Then they began to plead with him to depart. In verse 17 it says, "Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region." Now think about what just happened. Because here Jesus Christ just performed an incredible miracle, casting out the demons. But instead of the people from the region wanting him to stay, they said, "You gotta go. We don't want you around," because they didn't understand the power that he had. They didn't understand. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. And it's in us. Jesus Christ showed the extent of the Holy Spirit being inside of him, being able to control the demons. But the whole city came out to meet Jesus, as it says over in the account. You'll also find it in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 32 through 34, and then also in Luke 8, 33. It says, "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus," in Matthew 8, verse 34, "and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart from their coast." So you see, brethren, this is man's logic. Rather than keep the person who performed the miracle and was able to relieve the pain of the man who had been possessed for so long, they told him to leave. Now, this is not man's logic, as Mr. Edwards pointed out earlier, to say that man's logic does not contain God's wisdom. Yet the message was still being given there, because the man who was possessed with the demons, if we go on down to verse 18, and he says when he got into the boat, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demons possessed begged him that he might go with him. However, Jesus did not permit him and said, go home to your friends and tell them what your great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion for you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done to him, and they marveled. So, brethren, the message was still given, but just that they were so fearful of the power that Jesus Christ had done. Don't think it's going to be uncommon if God chooses to use you, what's your name, in the service of doing things that, again, we're part of his team. We're part of that spirit. And he will use us in whatever capacity we can, whether it's for prayer, whether it's fasting, whether it's meditation. As we go along, we'll see more and more how that God will use his servants in greater capacity. Christ healed others. His prayers for others, he loved everyone. But again, the power you possess within you, as Christ said, I can do nothing of myself. We're talking about the Son of God. And he said, I can do nothing of myself. He also said, why do you call me good? Brethren, but there's none good but God. But that's the power that dwells within us. And this mindset that God has given us to understand more and more thoroughly how involved God is in our lives. Again, why would we believe in a God that cannot heal? Brethren, we have an opportunity to call God on his promises and to believe. Pray believing. We have a universe, a God that has created this universe that, frankly, there's no end to. More and more and more, they're finding more discoveries, more constellations, more and more out there. And we have to understand how great God is. See, we get limited by Satan. We get limited by the understanding that human reasoning has. But our God's a great God. And he's saying, please come, help me understand. Help you. I want to help you understand. When Peter stepped out of that boat, he was walking on water. And only when started looking at the distractions and not focusing in on Christ, did he start to sink. How focused are we, brother? As humble servants of God, we do not look to self-promote. See, Jesus Christ didn't come here to promote himself, other than to say, he was here to serve God, follow me as I am, because I am coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he was very humble. A God is great, and we're here to promote God's greatness, to serve and do according to his will, whatever his capacity is. We have to acquire that selfless dedication. We desire mercy. We must first know what mercy is. In a society where mercy is looked upon as weakness. You know, brethren, sometimes we ask, why, God? Why am I going through this? When the question should be, how? How do I get through this, God? How can I be of help? How can I do the things that are pleasing unto you? See, sometimes it's not the why, it's the how. Again, when we read over Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, and you can just write it down. Reading from the English Standard Version, says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. See, it's hard to recognize that this complete society, this world that Satan has given us, does not echo any of the sentiments of God Almighty. nothing. Acts that are considered noble are filled with self-aggrandizement and wanting recognition for the great things that they have done. Brethren, we're so completely polar opposite of what God has and what Satan has put in as normal. And as we get closer to God, we start to recognize, wow, really? A lot of us, many of us now, I think, we couldn't see the blindness of Satan of when they were, at one time, if you were keeping Christmas. If somebody said, well, that's not God's holy day, you thought to yourself, well, what do you mean? We're honoring God by keeping Christmas. And then God opened your eyes. He took the scales off of your eyes, just like he took them off of Paul's eyes, to see what his truth is. And as we grow and mature in Jesus Christ, in God the Father and Jesus Christ, to be a part of the God family, we come to understand more. Less of self, more of God. Stop trying to fill our needs and start filling in what God needs. See, God knows what you need. He knows what you need before you ask. So that's the great accomplishment, is that step over on the other side. Take one more step, brethren, because we're not on the elementary anymore. We're going forward. We're here to understand it's not about me anymore. As John the Baptist said, as he grows, I become less. Same thing with us. Over in John chapter 14 and verse 30. I probably should give you a title. And here's the title of the sermon right here. The title of today's sermon is, He Has Nothing in Me. And when we read over here in John chapter 14 and verse 30. John 14 verse 30. It says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Nothing. Odous, Odais, not even one. There was nothing of Satan in Christ, not one bit. He was completely free of the adversary's ill effects. This is our goal, brethren. We're all tired of surrounding ourselves, surrounding our minds with the foolishness of this world. Enough already. We have to stay focused in on God and the good things of God. We have to learn to rise, learn how to love according to God's will. If you love me, keep my commandments. The character traits of the Elohim that have existed long before we showed up on the scene, the whole entire time that we're in existence, and long after we're gone, they haven't changed. Now we, on the other hand, are called to change all the time, because we're not perfect yet. The very essence of God, and seeing the example and truly understanding how the Savior, Jesus Christ, was in fact God. But he took on the form of a servant. He was capable of doing so much, but he was here to serve. He's all powerful, and that is exactly who he was. He was all powerful. By performing the miracles he did, he gave us an example as to what is capable. Christ pointed us toward the mobility of telling us to focus on what and what to think about. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Very familiar scriptures. And here we see, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, brethren, why is society enamored with bad, with tough? Why? I can go out and, boy, I can, oh, man, I can get somebody. Is that who we are? Is that who Jesus Christ was? When Peter pulled the sword, did he say, come on, guys, get him? No. He said, put your sword away. If it was my time, my servants would fight. But he came to show people what he was capable of and what will exist throughout the entire universe. My speculation, I kind of look at it and say, it's kind of like the, once we become spiritual beings, you know, I mean, how many billions of years did it take for the earth to be ready for mankind to show up right now? Bing! Oh, we're ready to put, let's put Adam and Eve on there. Bing! Let's get that planet ready. Bing! And we line up and we start getting our planets. And we start going out there. See, God has a plan and it's never stopped. And His universe will always continue to grow. And what we choose to focus on is indicative of our well-being. See, it's hard to treat physical ailments when you're dealing with spiritual problems. So much is stress related. Can I say that and be truthful? Think about it. Who hasn't experienced stress? But what does Jesus Christ tell us? My burden is light. Brethren, do what I say. You know, we have to have a balance towards searching the scriptures for prophetic things, for understanding, for wisdom, for seeing where we're at, taking inventory and how we can get rid of, hey, I identified that sin. It's not enough to identify it. We see it, but what are we going to do about it? Are we going to invoke the Holy Spirit so that we can eschew it, get it out of our lives? You know, I look forward to the time so much when I can be a part of the God family. All of us do. So we can be there when they laugh with laughter and joy. See, when they talk about you in the third heaven, look at my boy. Look at my daughter. God, I love them so much. They're doing what I tell them to do. Those words ring about you, brethren. What's your name? Instead, we've been force-fed a system that worships these little rectangles of wood, i.e. money, that is worth more than fair human life. How else could they justify taking a perfect person, one that never sinned, and killing him? Is this world backwards? Poor thoughts, poor decisions give time and energy to things that don't matter. We have to look towards God's Holy Spirit to be a part of us and to be led by it. You can't push a rope, as I've said many times. You know, when we relegate the mundane and useless banterings of this trivial nonsense that this world is trying to give us, we have to put it in the category of we hear what you're saying, but we're not actively engaged in dialogue concerning it. Because we're finite beings. We have an end date. And taking away precious time that we could be focusing in on God to invigorate the Holy Spirit to bring more of that love into our lives so that we can serve one another better. We have to do the things that are beneficial to God, where our time is well spent. Brethren, we are lifted up. John chapter 12 and verse 27. In John chapter 12 and verse 27, it says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause from I came unto this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore stood by and heard it and said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now if the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. You, me, brethren, we're being drawn unto him. This he said, signifying the death that he would die. Therefore, the people answered and said, we have heard of the law of Christ abideth forever. And how do you say that the man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, the light is with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he's going. Brethren, we have an opportunity. The light, the path is lighted for us. Let's do the things that are pleasing unto him. Christ died so we could be lifted up. And in our flight plan, there's no lack of faith that can be had. We rise up by kneeling down. Prayer, faith, meditation, fasting. These are the tools we use to actively serve and give God thanks for the extreme power he's given. Our understanding is heightened. We're taken into understanding, taken to a greater height of understanding as we overcome sin, as we learn to eschew those sins. And some of those sins that try to come back, we know how to get rid of it. So let's get rid of it. We're elevated too when we rise and see beyond the need to know more about not only this life, but the life to come. Brethren, our focus, focus, as Mr. Nettle said a couple years ago, we have to continue to not look at the diversions and stay focused on God. We build a relationship every day with God, not just on the Sabbath. And again, as I mentioned before, over in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, leaving the principles of the doctrine, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, of doctrine, of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. Brethren, these are things we know. These are things we've practiced. If for those who have been around for a while, you know these things. These are not questionable things. These are things that we have as our foundation. See, we can soar to greater heights with, as it explains over in John chapter 14, verse 12. In John chapter 14, verse 12 says, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do them, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Instead of saying greater works than these shall he do, cross that out and put your name. In verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, then I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. But it's not about selfish asking God, me. It's about what do you need from me, dear Lord. Thank you for allowing me to open my eyes to see what you have in store for us. See, because we can go on in boldness and power, if you go over to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Oh, brethren, we have such an opportunity, such a great calling. And it's incredible how God is meshing these messages together, and he's speaking. I mean, he could set a rock up here. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need any of us. But he chooses to speak through us, to let us know, to have a face, to say, let us know, hey, I'm here for you. See, when Peter started to sink after he got out of the boat, carnal thinking says, oh, he was scolding him. Why didn't you have faith? No. He's saying that to all of us, brother. Come on. Don't lack faith. Come on. Just as a child, you want to come on. You can make it. Yes. That's our father. That's our elder brother. Then John chapter 14, verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and works show greater works. I already read that. I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, and according to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so do Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether in life or by death. Brethren, we're here to serve God and to let people know that we serve God. Praise God for that. And over in First John chapter 4, in verse 12, verses 12 through 18. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 18. In this boldness and power, he says, no man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwells in us, and the love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that he dwells in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he is God. And we have known and we have believed that the love that God has to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwells in God, and God in him. Verse 17, herein is love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so we are in this world, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Brethren, we can't focus in on death. We have to focus in on life. We have to do the things that are pleasing unto God and eliminate the Satan process, the Satan thought process that he's brought about. Doing the things that are pleasing unto Christ and God the Father until our time comes. And as it says in Job 14:14, till our change comes.